God bless you, saints. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's just pray before we get into our study. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather into your, around your word this morning and gather together with other believers of like precious faith. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll just bless the services today, Lord God, and be with us as we study these scriptures out. We ask this in your name. Amen. So if you got your Bible, we've been studying and going through Hebrews chapter 4. And we've been talking about rest. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." So we're laboring in it to enter into Christ's rest. And you know, rest is a good picture to maybe to set in your mind, is to think about rest as Christ Jesus is laying in that boat asleep, and this is kind of a, you can't quite see it, but they're trying to wake Jesus up in this boat, and all the storms of life all around him are raging, and yet he's asleep because he's calm, and you know he knows he's rest really is a revelation, a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, a personal revelation of what your purpose is. And you know, think about Jesus laying there in that boat, knowing that what he's got to do, what his purpose is, that he's got to die on the cross, and he's got, you know, got some more preaching to do. So he's at rest. Think about David at rest, going up against Goliath, knowing that he had been anointed by Samuel. But this rest that we're talking about is the rest that comes by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And to think about, you know, we want to just kind of meditate on what are the effects of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life. And one of the effects, of course, is to cease from your own works, and that God will reveal himself to you. And that rest is that you're not resting on the things that you do or the things that you think about in your intellectual mind, but you're resting on a revelation of the revealed of the promises of God. So Jesus gave us a promise of rest when he said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the last few little lessons, we were just kind of looking, examining that pattern of labor before you get to rest. And you know, in the pattern that we look at sanctification, you can look at sanctification as like you're laboring, you're going through that process, and like an ox with a burden, you're pulling a heavy load, and you're packing that word in, and going to church and doing the things that you know, it looks like a Christian would do. But you haven't yet entered into rest because you're laboring to a place where God opens up the word to you, and you're resting on what he said. And compare that with the stages of Ruth, where, you know, Brother Bram said in Revelation chapter 5 in that message, he said, what Ruth under justification and Ruth under sanctification, laboring, a legalist. And then she finally ended up resting, where she laid down at the feet of Boaz, and Boaz threw his skirt over her, a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And all she had to do from that point on was, she said, and she knew that when Boaz got up, he was gonna go to work. All she had to do was just rest and trust in him. So, you know, we follow that type of the justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the Lutherans believed it by faith and coming to the land, and the Methodists taught sanctification, which was the legalistic standpoint of it. Say, you got to do something. I got to quit. I got to let my hair grow out, said the women. And of course, they don't do it no more, but they did do it. Something, legalism, sanctification, something that you're doing, you're working through. They had to quit wearing the paints in their faces. They didn't wear their skirts wrong or short like the others did. They had to do something. See, that's what she did. The state of justification, the state of sanctification. And again, down at the bottom right, you can see the little picture of that ox, because, you know, when you think of sanctification, you think of that labor of the ox, the ox spirit. It's the Spirit of Christ working to do something in your life to bring you to a place. And of course, we examined last time, legalism is when we base our justification on our own law keeping. So again, comparing working versus rest. You when you're in that sanctified state, you start looking at the things that you do, and you say, "Well, maybe I'm good. Maybe this is good enough." But legalism is when we base our justification on our own law keeping rather than on the finished work of Christ, what He did. Legalism exists when people attempt to secure righteousness in God's sight by good works, looking at what you're doing, looking at the thing, you know, I'm paying my tithes, I'm coming to church, I believe the Bible that is true, and you say, well, that's good enough, but yet you haven't entered into rest yet. Legalists believe that they can earn or merit God's approval by performing the requirements of the law. That's why in Philippians chapter 2, you know, there's labor before rest. And Philippians chapter 2 says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that a kind of almost a paradox, that you've got something to do, but it's Christ doing it, the work in you, Christ and you together. In 2 Peter chapter 1 that talks about that going up the stature of a perfect man, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, there's something that you got to do. You got to open up your Bible and spend time with God and set aside a time for Him. You know, there's things that happen automatically, but there's things that you have to do as well. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. Do what? Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance. And there's something you have to be convinced that it's true. You have to make yourself available to God. So give diligence means to give careful and persistent work or effort, constant and effort to accomplish something. There's that ox again, laboring. You're laboring, trying to get from point A to point B. Persevering attention, like diligently searching through like a filing cabinet for something. Or let's say the Word of God, diligently searching like the Bereans did to see if these things be true. When you hear something preached that seems a little bit perplexing or whatnot, you want to find out if it's right or not. Constant in effort. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And of course, now this rest. Is you when you're sanctified, you're laboring and you're in that state of trying to get to a place where you can rest. But then Christ said that He would give you rest and to take His yoke upon you so that you can become yoked with Him. And you know, last time we talked about how you think about it, if you've ever had to you know, the brothers, if you ever had to do some kind of heavy lifting or something, move a car or push something heavy with a lot of others, and maybe there might be one that's not doing their work and they're just kind of acting like it. Well, that's really how it is when you're yoked with Christ. You look over and you're yoked with Him, and He's really the one that's pulling all the load because you're yoked with Him. And that's why He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When you get yoked with Him, now it's like the cross is lying. Now take up your cross and follow me. Now it becomes a whole lot easier because you're doing it because now you're in love with Him and He's revealing His word, and you know what your purpose is and you know why you're coming to church. And it's not just that you're going through the motions and things, but the word has become alive where it used to be. It just was dead works, but now it's a living Christ in you, and it's you and Christ together. That's why now Brother Branham in the message Desperations, he said the token, we've talked to the token all the way along. Now what's the token? Is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Lutherans allowed it to accept in the Word, accepting Christ as personal Savior. When you get happy enough to shout, that's it. The Pentecostal says speak in tongues, then you got it. And we find out that all of it was wrong. See, the token is the token. It's you and Christ as persons together. See, it's the Holy Spirit, His life in you, working His own life through you. And that's the rest that we're talking about this morning. Where you know that Christ has got you and you got Him, and you're all wrapped in up together, and in that day you shall know that I am in you and you in me and I'm in the Father. We're all one. Brother Bram said, in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said, you see the rest of the people living the way they do, but yet you do not do it because something's been changed in your soul to take the desire away, to make you live it, to make you be able to walk it. You're yoked with him. Now you're yoked with him. My yoke is easy. Yoked with Christ, which is with his word. And I do only that which is pleasing to the Father. He said, if you can believe that I am he, then believe the word. And then, so now you're yoked with him and you labor a little bit differently. That's why 1 Corinthians, it says, we are laborers together with God. Now you're laboring to build yourself up, to build up, let the word be built up within you. Now you're laboring that preachers laboring, preaching the gospel, people in church laboring that the word can be packed in their life and come to a place of maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, labor and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. See, there it is, Paul's laboring. But yet not I, the grace of God. It's God and Christ as one in a man, in man working like that type of yoke yourself with Christ. And you got Christ in himself in you. And Colossians 1:29, he said, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So there we've got that type of you labor to get enter into his rest, and then you begin laboring some more, and then you come up to maturity, to come to up to a place where God can begin opening up the seals and things to you, which is why in 2 Peter he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith, giving all diligence. But now, after that little baby form sanctification, you come to a place where you're resting in God's promise and what he said. And you're resting not in something that you did, but in what Christ did on the cross. You're resting in the finished work of what God did on the cross. So if the Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, then you can rest on that. That you can rest that there's a promise of healing. If the Bible says in Psalms that don't forget all the benefits, you can rest that there's benefits in the Bible. If the Bible says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a promise for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can rest in that. So what we're doing, we're not resting in a feeling or a sensation or something. We're resting in what Christ said. That's what Charles Spurgeon said when he said, if you rest on the finished work of Jesus, you have already the best evidence of your salvation in the world. You have God's word for it. What more is needed? What more do you need than God said it? So now, if you go back and examine what Brother Brown taught, and you know, when everything that Brother Brown said, he would tie back to Scripture. Everything that he said, you can take back to the Word. And when he began to talk about rest, as he was preaching the Hebrews chapter 4 series, or Hebrews series, he would go back to the Old Testament to identify what that rest is in Isaiah 28. And it might be a little bit small to see, so I apologize for that, but just maybe just listen as we read through this. But you think about how many places, what a strange thing it is in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 36 and Isaiah 28 and Joel, it talks about something that was going to come, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But yet they could not attain to this yet in the Old Testament. But this scripture, Isaiah 28 and Ezekiel 36 and Joel, was all those things that they talked about were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when the baptism of the Holy Ghost came. Now listen to how Isaiah describes the rest that we're talking about. The rest. Whom shall he teach knowledge? How's rest going to come? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Because listen, when you understand the doctrine, that's something you can hang your hat on. You can hang your soul when you have a revelation of Jesus Christ. When the word opens up and the picture becomes clear, that's something you can rest on. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And Brother Brown would say, you know, things like, say, not little babies. God wants us to get us to a place. He wants us to position us to where we can understand deep teaching. You know, I think that's what, you know, maybe examine ourselves this morning. Do we want the Word? Eagles want the Word. Because the Word is what is going to bring you your rest. For precept must be upon precept. See, we quote this a lot of times, but maybe this morning, just think about this in the context of that is your rest. Precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, you think about that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. How would you be snared? Because the word comes just a little bit here and a little bit there, and people get confused about things. It looks like in some places the word contradicts itself. But when the revelation comes, everything fits together. Just like, for example, Matthew 28:19 looks like it contradicts Acts 2:38. But when the Spirit reveals itself, like reveals the word, just like it was revealed on the day of Pentecost, when Peter came bolting out of that upper room and said, this is that, and it began to identify the correct way to be baptized, not in the name of titles, not in titles, but in the name of Jesus Christ, because he had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. You see how you can be baptized wrong because you don't know who it is you're being baptized, how to be baptized. But to know who Jesus Christ is gives you the correct way to be baptized, to go down in the water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ. And so that's rest. That's rest. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And see, isn't that a refreshing? When you have confidence in what you believe, and not to be confused, not to go around wandering from this post to this post, from this church to that church, but to know what you believe. You know what a precept is a general rule intended to regulate behavior or thought. And as we were studying on Wednesday night in The Greatest Battle Ever Fought, Brother Branham was talking about how that when you receive the word, these little precepts, a line upon line, it actually opens up a channel between you and God for his Spirit to work through you. And so as you receive these word and the word goes forth and you say, I believe that, then because God will not violate your free will, he won't override your free will. So he wants you to accept it. And when you accept it, it allows him to begin to operate in your life. That's why in Romans chapter 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so you, as you receive the word is actually transforming your thinking and transforming your actions and transforming the way that you behave and renewing your mind. And I've got this little ladder that's going up to kind of show that as you add line upon line, it's taking you higher and higher into a relationship with Christ, precept upon precept. So Brother Branham said, now what's the Sabbath? The Sabbath rest, not a day that we set aside anymore, but the New Testament Sabbath is a perpetual resting in Christ. Amen. Because he sent his Holy Ghost into the church to give you an understanding, to give you peace, to give you a peace in a time of trouble, just like Jesus in that boat when the winds were rocking it, but yet he was resting and who he knew he was and what his purpose was. He was resting in the promise of God. Not worldly knowledge, but spiritual knowledge. Who shall he teach knowledge, as Isaiah 28 says? Whom shall he make understand doctrine? Oh, bless God, our organization don't believe this. They wouldn't put up with that, as many of the organizations say today. But if you can find somebody that will accept God's word, they'll be able to enter into God's rest. What does God's word say about it? Oh, well, our pastors, you know, are educated. Oh, sure, certainly got so much education they left God out of it. Truly, for you can tell them the word and they'll walk around and say, well, I don't believe it just that way. So you can see how the Sabbath rest does not come by education. Education is like Cain that sitting there with, by education saying, well, I know how I need to give my offering. I'm going to bring up some fruit of the fields. I'm going to bring some grapes and some stuff that I've harvested. But that's what you get with education. So it doesn't come by just somebody just laying out things so that, you know, it's maybe plain by intellectual understanding, but it comes by a revelation. Because Abel saw what it really was by revelation, what had happened in the garden. And he come up there with a lamb and offered a bloody sacrifice because he had a revelation. And that's what he was resting in, a revelation of what his purpose was and how to get back to God. It was revealed to him. And Brother Bram said, in the Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, one day in the week. Now he magnified it. The rest comes from keeping the Spirit of God. Precept upon precept and line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Hold fast that what's good. For with stammering lips and other tongues will I speak to this people. And that is the rest. That's the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And yet they would not hear it and wag their heads and walked away for their denominations. Isn't that exactly what they did when Jesus was on earth with the Pharisees and Sadducees? They didn't want to hear the things, the deep things that Jesus was saying, like, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, or I and my Father are one. They didn't want to hear all that. So they wanted to stay with their denominational idea. But when truth comes, if you'll receive it, it's a real rest. What is the Holy Ghost? Brother Ram preached in 1959. He said, somebody keeping a Sabbath day. I'm not rejecting or making light of anybody's church or religion, but said the Sabbath day, the Sabbath of God, was the rest day. Here's the rest day. This is the rest. He said that you cause the weary to rest. It'll be precept upon precept, line upon line. There's the rest. What is the Holy Ghost? The rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How? Because you get yoked up with Christ. And he starts pulling the labor, the burden. He's the one doing all the work for you. What does that mean? He's the one that changes your desire to dress differently, to look differently, to not look like the world. He takes away the desire to drink and smoke and all that stuff that you used to do. And to dress like a barbarian, and changes your nature. And now you're yoked with him, and what used to be a labor is now a pleasure because you're in love with Christ. What is he? The one that comes in you, gives you peace, your sign, your comforter, comforted, at rest, sealed. It's a sign. The world knows something's happened to you. What is it? A seal. You're at rest. If something happens to you, there's something there to make an advocate for you right quick. See, making intercessions. It's the Spirit of God living in the church, prophesied exactly what it would be when it come. It would be an everlasting, eternal rest. Because this rest is something that nobody can take away from you. Once God gives it to you, it's there forever. What is the new birth then? Brother Ram said, in Christ the mystery of God revealed. You'd say, well, Brother Brown, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, whether you get sick, whether you have a bad day at work, whether things are going rough, whether your family leaves you and deserts you, well, no matter what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you that is the revelation that the church was built upon. The new birth is Christ is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery, and that's a new birth. And the musicians can go ahead and come forward. And we'll stop on this note. When Ruth was resting, it was a type of the church resting in the promises of God. We have the earnest now of our salvation. We're not worried whether we're going over there or not. We're going. God promised it, and we've got the earnest. All we have to do is just wait. We have the earnest of it right now, waiting for the time that when he comes back. When you got that rest, all you got to do is wait on God to fulfill His word. And we'll stop there.